It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. I am your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from KISU Studios at Idaho State University. Very, very pleased to start off this new year and have with me our guest once again, Dawn Konacek, known in these parts as the Tax Lady. At least that's the nickname we're given to you. Or
I've had it for a while.
Addressing you by at this time of year. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Dawn, we've been doing this now the past couple of years. Every January we have you on. Why are you back? Why do we have you?
To talk about VITA, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance that the students and I do from January till March, and to talk about some of the tax changes.
Got
to
talk tax changes every year.
Mm-hmm.
And every January, we're going to just keep on coming, having you back, because two inevitabilities in life, right?
Yeah, they always change.
Yeah.
Every year.
All right. Well, Dawn, where do we want to start? Do we want to
VITA.
Start?
Let's talk about VITA.
Let's get into VITA. Tell us VITA. Once again, remind our listeners.
So I've been doing VITA. This is my 11th year of doing it. It's the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, where we have accounting students and just business students that learn how to do taxes. They complete their own, and they help people who've their income's around $57,000 or lower. So we do taxes every Thursday starting January 26th in the Rendezvous Building, room 213, from 5 to 9. And it's free. We do e-filing. We do state returns. And it's really good for the students to learn how to do this. So it's, you know, there's two benefits. You know, people who can't afford the service get their tax return done for free, and the students get experience and exposure to it as well.
I think that's the greatest part of this, right?
Yes.
Nobody likes tax time.
Right.
I guess I shouldn't say nobody, and I shouldn't say nobody likes to do their taxes.
Well, they do like it if they think they're going to get a refund, right?
Which I guess we better talk about at some point.
But, yeah.
I guess it takes a unique type of individual who just loves doing taxes themselves.
That would be me. I like to do it.
That would be the tax lady.
You know, at first I didn't like to do them, but now I think I know what I'm talking about, so I do enjoy it.
And I would say, I'm going to venture a guess here, I'd say most people that are doing their own taxes are doing it because they're trying to save money and not pay someone to do it.
Well, they want, you know, they're able to do their own taxes, they want to learn how to do it, but they also want to learn how and which ways they can minimize their tax burden.
Okay.
I was just talking to a student about that today.
Okay. So now here we have an opportunity with VITA. Individuals can have their taxes done for free.
Starting January 26th.
January 26th. We're going to have to repeat these dates and times and places several times through the episode.
Okay.
To make sure everybody's with it. But starting January 26th, every Thursday night.
Till March, whenever our spring break is March 20th. So the Thursday before that.
It's the Thursday before our spring break on campus. Yeah, I got to pull up my calendar.
Last year we went after spring break, but this year we're going to go just right before spring break. It was too hard on the students.
That would make March 16th the last.
Yes, yeah. So if you've got Thursday. Your information, come in sooner than later.
Okay. Yeah. So starting the 26th, going until March 16th, every Thursday night from 5 to 9. 5 to 9 in the Rendezvous.
Yep, Rendezvous Building.
For any listeners not familiar with the Rendezvous, that is the building directly across from the library next to Reed's Gym.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
And get it done for free. Students are doing it.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people might be nervous having students complete their tax return, but we've got at least three levels of review, possibly four. I've been doing taxes since I was 20, so that's 30-some years. So.
Well, you didn't need to give us your age, Dawn.
Yeah, maybe they'll cut that
just
out.
Just say a long time.
I've been doing
it for really long. Or you could have just said, I've been doing it for 30 years, and maybe you started when you were 5.
But there's assurance, you know, and we have, my spec agent told me we had pretty low errors, so.
Okay.
We have a lot of reviews.
A lot of reviewers. So
reviewers.
A student is going to prepare it.
Yes.
Okay, which gives the student amazing experience.
Yes.
In fact, I've talked to several students. In fact, years ago, I had a student who worked for me that also did VITA, and they mentioned when they were actually after, you know, it was a part-time gig with me, after they were interviewing for all their full-time jobs, those were the things they talked about, was they wanted to hear all about VITA and all the experience they got there preparing taxes.
Mm-hmm. They do get exposure.
So valuable exposure for an accounting student or another business student that just says, hey,
yes,
taxes seem cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to get in on that.
Yeah.
Student prepares it. From that student, where does it go?
It goes to another student who's been doing this, like they've maybe prepared last year, so they'll be a reviewer this year, or who have done, you know, have completed tax returns in the past. They'll be reviewers. And then we have outside people like me or the couple other professors, and I've got a couple other individuals just from the community that love to help, and they've been doing taxes for years and years that review as well.
So, some great volunteers.
Yes.
Because it's all volunteer.
It's all volunteer.
That's the V in VITA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that goes through those levels of review and then gets sent off to the IRS.
Yes.
For final inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Gets filed.
And we do multiple states as well. We can do, you know, more than just Idaho.
Okay. So that's good to know, because there's a lot of students that might, maybe they had a summer job or
right.
maybe they are from
another
state.
Yeah, we do all states. Mm-hmm.
So you can handle any state. This is geared towards individuals whose income is under $57,000.
Yeah, roughly.
So
It's a rough. Yeah. It's rough. We take
you come
people
in
that
at
are
58, we're not going to turn you away.
Yeah, it's somebody's over 100,000, then we're like, you know.
But the goal here is, hey, we're helping lower income individuals that need this great assistance.
Right. And you know, because a service out there can be pretty expensive.
It certainly can.
Yeah.
So. All right, so I'm going to hit the keys here again because everybody needs to hear this. Thursday, every Thursday night from January 26th to March 16th, 5 to 9 in the Rendezvous.
Room 213.
So second floor, east side of the building, unless you've changed. Well, that's fantastic. We love VITA. I think it's a wonderful service. A couple years ago, I was lucky enough to hang out with you guys a few nights. I've been invited back. I shouldn't say I haven't been invited back.
I was going to say, we'll welcome you back this year if you want.
So, all right. So, Tax Lady, VITA, check.
Okay. Now tax
now
law
let's
changes.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty of tax law that seems to change every year.
Yeah. So, last year, due to COVID, we had a lot of generous credits. The three of them were the child tax credit, the dependent care credit, and the earned income credit.
And those are three big credits or helpful credits.
Very much so.
Especially anyone with children.
Yeah, very much so. All three of them had changed, pretty much reverted back to what it was before COVID. The child tax credit last year was if you had a child 5 and under, you'd get a $3,600 credit, possibly maximum. And then it was $3,000 if you're between the age of 6, if the child was between the age of 6 and 17. This year it reverted back to 2000 under 17. The child has to be under 17.
Which basically means you were 16 or younger.
Exactly.
As of December 31st.
Exactly. You have to be 16
December 31st. If you get a birthday out there on New Year's Eve and you turn 17, you just cost your parents a lot of money.
You did. $2,000 credit.
Yeah.
And a credit is, again, different than a deduction. A credit is a dollar-for-dollar reduction of your tax liability. So it's a lot better than a deduction.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to think back. That $3,600 or $3,000, depending on the age, that was fully refundable, was it?
Fully refundable. This year, the maximum portion that's fully refundable is $1,500.
Okay.
And what that means is if you zero out your tax liability, the most you can get back is $1,500 from that credit.
Okay.
Even if your tax liability is zero.
So that means even if we take the tax liability to zero,
you get $1,500
possibly. You get some of that
possibly.
Money back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you do get, for anybody 17 or older, it's $500,
mm-hmm.
which that did not change.
That did not change. That's back. But I guess what has changed
was
is
the age.
Yeah. If I had a 16-year-old last year, I might have been thinking, hey, I'm getting this credit again next year. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, I'm not.
Yeah, it's $2,500. Big changes here. And then the dependent care credit, if you're paying for child care for a child under 13, that last year was very generous as well. It was $8,000 at most of a credit there for one child and $16,000 if you had two or more. That reverted back. It's now $3,000 for one child and $6,000 for at most $6,000 for two or more children. Last year it was fully refundable. This year it's not refundable at all. Again, that means if it's not refundable, You can zero out your tax liability and you don't get anything excess after that. So that changed pretty big. And also what changed is the maximum credit percentage. It dropped from 50% from last year to 35%. So people are, it's just going to be less.
Yeah, if you think about that, that, I mean, again, we, and you've said revert several times. This isn't necessarily a tax change saying, hey, we're reducing this. It's, we had a one-time increase because we're still coming out of COVID. So here's some generosity.
Right.
And now they're just reverting back. But I mean, here's the thing. That's, seems pretty harsh because inflation being what it is.
Exactly.
Individuals might be having to work more. I mean, we've got single parents out there that need, you know, right, are putting their children in a daycare so they can work. Or we've got two working parents whose children, and they're going to see.
Apparently, just groceries alone, $400 increase per month is what I've been hearing.
I can tell you as a father of four, family of six, we have definitely been spending more than $400.
I know that,
on groceries.
You know, they have increased the standard deduction, but I think it's just to cover inflation, but it's not going to cover the changes that have been made.
Yeah.
They have increased, like the married filing joint standard deduction is $25,900. It went up by, I think, about $800 this year.
And that's common. I mean, we see
that every year.
We see that every year.
It goes up, yeah. So I don't think it's enough to cover these changes.
No, it certainly isn't.
And the last one is the earned income credit. Last year, you had to be 19, and there was no upper limit, age limit, to get this credit. And the most you could have gotten was $1,502. Now they've changed.
And that's if I have no children.
No children, $1,502. Now, if you don't have any children, you have to be between the ages of 25 and 65, reverting back to old law. And the most you can get is, I have it here, $560 if with no children.
So much smaller.
It's much smaller. Obviously, if you have one child, two children, or three or more, you get more than that. But
this is certainly something very helpful to college students, right?
Yes. A lot 19, of college
20,
students.
21-year-old, 22-year-old college students who were working part-time trying to put themselves through school.
They got it last
year. They were getting
year.
This credit. And now,
if they don't have children, they have to be 25 to get it.
So are you an advocate of having lots of children?
No. I have three, but...
And that's enough.
Yeah, three is a good number.
Yeah, certainly don't go out and have children.
Just to have more
just
credits.
Just to get those credits.
Yeah, because the credits don't make
Spoiler
up.
Spoiler alert, yeah, children are expensive.
Yeah, very expensive. The earned income credit does not cover the expense of a child. And another thing that they changed this year, which I'm really unhappy with, is so most people are not itemizing because the standard deduction's so high.
Yeah, and that's been fairly common for about 5 years now.
Right. And so, but they lost, a lot of people lost incentive to give to charities. And so what they have done in the past is if you're single and you gave cash donations, have to be in cash, you could take a $300 above the line AGI deduction, or if you're married, filing joint, the max is $600. That went away also, which is a shame. It doesn't incentivize giving to charities.
I do, in my personal finance class with my students, as we talk about why you should give to charities and charitable giving, it really does come down to because it fits your values and something you want to do.
It does. I agree with that. I mean,
but it is certainly nice when it's going to also help you a bit on your taxes.
Right.
So.
Right. A lot of people do. I mean, people give because are wanting to give. And $300, $600, I mean, you know, that's nice. But, you know, so hopefully people will continue to give.
Yeah. But
I agree.
Certainly when you can feel good about what you're doing and get a little bit of a help on your taxes, that's nice. And
so that's not around
as
anymore.
You mentioned, if you take the standard deduction, which, again, that set amount of money that's not subject to taxes, which most Americans are doing, no more deduction for the charitable giving.
You're right.
Above the line.
Above the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are four big ones. I think the good four changes or reversions for us to focus on. Obviously, lots of changes.
Right.
There's always the little things that take place. But those are four big ones because I think those really affect American households and certainly are affecting lower income households that kind of count on this credit that comes back to help with children. Certainly if they've got children in daycare, it comes back to help with all that to help meet the bills. And
they've just lowered them
back to where they were despite skyrocketing inflation. Mm-hmm. We could play the blame game. We could talk the politics. But the fact of the matter is they were set to expire, and they expired did. without both parties coming to a consensus of what should be done.
Right.
So
that's pretty much it.
Now, I suppose we could have that 11th hour Hail Mary pass, throw
I've
out every metaphor.
I've seen it in the past. I've seen it in the past.
We have certainly seen some strange changes take place mid-January.
Mm-hmm. Sometime in March. A couple years ago
was
in March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at least for now.
It is what it is right now.
It is what it is.
Yeah. We should probably mention that Venmo.
I think that's a good thing to mention.
So apparently it was extended. It's not going to happen till next year, but if you transfer money through Venmo, in the past it was you had to have at least over 200 transactions, and the amount in total was had to be over
$20,000. Yeah.
Now they're changing it to just one transaction, and the limit is $600.
Yeah, as soon as you hit 600, right?
As soon as you hit 600, you're going to get this form called a 1099-K. And so a lot of people transfer through Venmo and through PayPal and those kind of things.
Zelle.
Right. They are extending that provision till next year, but people have to be aware this does not count with transfers between friends and family. So if you're transferring money between friends and family, you should be heavily documenting that, because right now they don't have a way of tracking that. And so if you get a 1099-K, that was money, you know, given to your family.
Reimbursements
for
something.
You go out
to dinner with friends,
right,
and one person pays the bill, the
right.
other reimburses.
Documentation is
checks.
a key, because chances are you'll get a 1099-K, because I don't think they have the logistics in place to track that properly right now.
Which was probably their biggest reason for pushing it a year, mm-hmm. try and figure out how they're going to do this. But
right. You
make a fantastic point.
Document.
Document. Make great notes in case they don't come up with a good system.
Yeah.
Because otherwise what happens is next year, and again, we're talking next year, but the need for right now to document 2023.
Right, just to have those records.
You know, if you get a 1099, well, the IRS gets that information as well.
Right, and so they're going to be looking for that money. If they get a copy of that 1099, they're going to be like, well, we have a copy. Yeah. Where is this on the tax return?
Yeah. Without you telling them otherwise, they assume it's income.
Right, So be aware of that.
So being aware, making the documentation, because most likely there's going to be some kind of a form or something to fill out to show what's a legitimate source of income. You know,
right. You
sold something,
right. Business
income, et cetera.
Right. And they do have business Venmo, like you said before.
They do.
Yeah.
I would be curious as to how many businesses are actually using that versus, I'll just use my personal Venmo.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work in the future, but right now, just keep a lot of documentation.
Yeah. Document. That's just some great advice.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've given you great advice on, well, can we call it advice when it's already happened?
Right.
We've told you what has changed and what to be prepared for when filing this year's taxes, and offered some great advice for maybe something to do this year as you prepare for next year's taxes. And obviously a whole lot of other slew of changes we could talk about, which I don't think we need to, because I think we should focus on the most important. But
well, the student, so the loan delay.
Oh, there might be a good one to talk about.
Right, when you, they've delayed the loans, and you said, can you repeat that, what you were saying before?
Yeah, so currently, and I've been updating my listeners, every month for several months, they have once again extended the forced deferment or deferment, so 0% interest, no payments required. That is extended until 60 days after the Supreme Court makes a ruling on what is to take place, whether or not there can be loan forgiveness or not, or if the Department of Education is granted permission to go ahead with that forgiveness. So 60 days after a decision, or 60 days after June 30th. So whichever comes first. So if the Supreme Court, if this goes through the courts for the next 8 months, then unless they extend again, which I guess they might, because they shook their fist saying this is the last time, be prepared, and then they extended. Individuals are going to have to start making payments, and interest will start to accrue. And I think that's where you're going.
Yes.
Interest.
Yeah. And if you're paying on those loans, you're paying interest, and that is another above the line AGI deduction. The max deduction is $2,500.
Okay.
But if you're not paying on them, you won't get that deduction.
Yeah. If you're not paying on them, and even if you have been paying on them in the last couple of years, they have not been accruing interest.
Right.
So you haven't been paying interest. Right. There's been no deduction.
Right. And you will get a form on that as well.
You do get the form.
At 1098.
That's
a 1098 form. Yeah. I'm not sure what, I can't remember, but it's a 1098 form.
So I guess be prepared for that for 2023, assuming you're going to start.
Yeah, that is a deduction, student loan interest.
Mm-hmm. And lots to think about.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's no wonder that we don't want to think about this ourselves, and we want to take it to someone.
Right.
Which brings us back to Vita, because we got to plug Vita several times in here. I think Vita is a wonderful service. You said 11 years now you've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been at the university for longer than that, but I know that over the last 11 years you have done amazing things to grow that. Because during my time as an undergrad here, I think the most returns we ever did was 70. So
yeah, I was viable, about 70. Yeah,
a wonderful service to the community, and 70 people came out. How many have you been
doing
the last
year? We did last
year
555.
So not only a great service to the community in offering this, but a great service and a great learning experience
right.
to these
And we had
students.
555 people, relying on us and trusting us to do their taxes.
Yeah.
So it's a good service.
Fantastic service. Well, Tax Lady, we got a few minutes. I've got a few minutes of your time.
Okay.
Okay.
So Ask away. What should we talk about?
We've got to talk. This is one time where I wish we had a call-in and could hear from people. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
What is the benefit, whether it's Vita or whether it's paying for someone else? I'm not saying people shouldn't do their own taxes, but what is the benefit of going to someone?
Having that, well, a professional is going to understand the tax laws and how to minimize your tax burden, So it's, it's easy to just input a W-2, but they also can provide lots of advice. And when Vita clients do come to my students or to me, I get a slew of tax advice. Hey, I've got this situation. So we not only know how to prepare, but we also know how to tax plan, And so tax planning is really a valuable resource. I just had a student today asking me, as a student, how can I minimize my tax burden? And I told him, well, I know you have limited income. You're going to school. So I told him, hopefully you're taking advantage of the education credits. There's two of them out there, the American Opportunity Credit and the Lifetime Credit. The American Opportunity Credit is better, but you have to be within your first 4 years, and it's a refundable credit, meaning you get extra, a refundable credit of $1,000 that you get back, whereas the lifetime credit is not refundable. It zeroes out your tax burden. The tuition deduction is gone. They used to have that. That's above the line. It is a deduction, so not as good as the credits. Most people didn't really use the tuition deduction anyway because of the credits.
I believe it was kind of same qualifications, lifetime learning versus tuition and fees deduction.
Right,
and credit
right.
is going to trump deduction. Almost every time.
Oh, almost.
Unless you're a super high income earner.
Exactly.
And you get above the 25% tax.
Yeah, there's phase outs for them as well.
So.
But, going to a preparer, someone like me, is we do know how to, apply the tax law, but we also know how to plan for it too.
So if somebody does go to a professional or a service, obviously we want to see them come to Vita. Okay?
Right.
And if they come to Vita, we've already explained, going to be done by a student. However, that student had to pass a competency exam.
Yes, they
do. An IRS exam, right?
Pretty complicated exam.
Yeah.
It's pretty intimidating to them.
So it isn't just a student we pulled from the classroom. It's a student that wants to be there, a student that wants to learn, and a student that put in time and effort to pass an exam. Then it's also going to be reviewed by other competent individuals.
Who take an advanced exam. Mm-hmm.
And go through all those levels of review and be sent off. If someone doesn't go to Vita, okay, and goes somewhere else, what are some of the things they can look for in a tax professional? Well, case in point. Several years ago, the IRS tried to set a law that said if you're going to prepare taxes for a fee or be a professional, you had to pass a competency exam.
Right.
That got challenged and got ruled down. So any individual can go online, register for a P-10, and prepare taxes.
Right.
So how do I know that my tax preparer?
They have the CPA certification and the CPA license. There's four parts to it. It's a really grueling test. And the one part is the reg portion, which is for tax. Not all of the people doing taxes has the CPA license, but it helps to also have the enrolled agent's exam, which is just purely tax. Yeah. So
I think that's a good one to talk about because a lot of people don't recognize that. But if you're looking for a tax professional,
yeah,
that's
the enrolled agent exam, I have my CPA license, but the enrolled agent's exam, I heard, is just as hard as the reg portion of that CPA exam. And so they put time and effort to become certified. So, you know, somebody with those certifications are that's good to look for as well.
So looking for certifications.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody doesn't have those certifications because they haven't taken the exams. You could still have, I suppose, a professional that's been doing it for years.
And there's, you know, records out there and there's reviews out there that you can look at. You know, but, you know, that the accreditation, I mean, having those credentials is, I think, important to look at.
So no matter what you decide, if you decide you're going to do it yourself, software is only as good as you make it because
exactly.
You've got to do the research. It's not just going to assume they know everything about
the
you.
The softwares do not prevent you from entering a credit that you should not get.
So
I know several software packages where people are getting credits that they should
that
not
they
be getting.
Get.
Yes.
Those are usually the people that come into VITA, come into other services after they've tried to do it themselves, and they wonder why it's less with a professional, and that's
right.
Exactly
and what people have to know is, you know, if you're taking deductions, they will eventually. It might not be, you know,
this year.
1 year, you know, or next year, but eventually they'll get caught up in a, you know, with this whole slew of IRS agents coming in, 80 some.
Well, 80 billion, I think that's a fantastic way to spend money because you've
been
dealt with the IRS.
Oh.
I've dealt with the IRS.
And
there's nothing worse
they've
because
been short
they're short-staffed.
Yeah, you can't get somebody on the line.
Yeah. So, I don't think you need to worry about the fact that the government is spending or investing more in the IRS. I think that's actually helpful for all those who have dealt with.
Because
I don't
want to
say incompetence, but the slow delays and the back and forth.
Right, right. They did not have enough employees to handle questions and concerns. And so it's not necessarily bad. But they will, if you're filing a fraudulent tax return and taking things you shouldn't be, they'll catch up. It'll catch up eventually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you got to be careful of that.
All right, Don. VITA, Thursday nights, January 26th until March 16th, every Thursday from 5 to 9 in the Rendezvous, room 213.
Correct.
All right, go find the tax lady. She will make sure your taxes are done correctly.
And
filed on time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to future episodes.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU-FM. Shows are produced at the studios of KISU in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing for this episode by Shelby McGovern. Music is by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy Show can be found at kisu.org. from Spotify and other select podcast services.